First Peter chapter 1. Starting at verse 23, just lay a little bit of groundwork to go somewhere else and do something totally different than this. This is kind of a warm-up to Sunday school for the worship service, if you will. In verse 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which individually, singularly, liveth and abideth forever. Not two words of God, not multiple word of God, the word of God. And some people just need to make up their minds about that. Hey man, it's either the word of God and all others are lies, or you're just a compromiser. And there's no other way to put that. And you just can't believe God. You don't have faith to believe God. So everything's the word of God to you. And this is what they say. Well, there's enough of truth in there to save people. That's what they say. Well, there's enough lies in there to damn them too.
Right.
So let's look at it in the negative. Let me be a pessimist. You be an optimist all you want. Amen. The glass is half empty to me. You just let it be half full. Go ahead and live a dream. That's fine. The reality is enough damnation in there to damn your soul to hell. And I don't know how God can bear witness with a lie. I don't know how the Holy Ghost can look at a lie and say, you know what, I'm going to honor that. And I'm going to bring salvation to fruition in the heart through a lie, through a damnable heresy. And some of us just need to believe that. If you're not convinced of that, you need to take the word of God. Let the word of God convince you of that. I'm trying to be sweet. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. This is not tares. This is the word of God. This is good seed. This is seed that goes into good soil and springs up. And now listen, when this seed springs up, it brings forth fruit. When it grows, it brings forth fruit. The others don't bring forth fruit. They may appear. This is what people say. Well, what about those changed lives? Well, I've seen changed lives without Christ. I've seen changed lives in cults. I've seen changed lives in Muslims. I've seen changed lives in liars. But their lives changed. I've seen convicts with changed lives. The evidence is not in the changed life. The evidence is in the fruit of the word of God in their life. And the word of God liveth and abideth forever. And heaven and earth shall pass away. My words shall never pass away. It's not going to happen. And so when you look at it in the light of the scripture, what the scripture says about the scripture, this is the word of God. For he said in verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever.
Exactly.
Now, I realize there's an idea that's been propagated pretty strongly today. And let me just challenge you with this. The John 3:16 is the gospel in a nutshell, is it not?
Yes.
Go to heathen Africa, find somebody that speaks English, that's never heard the gospel, and quote them John 3:16. It's the gospel in a nutshell, is it not? Wouldn't they get saved? For God so loved the world. Who's God? What's the world? That he gave his only begotten son? Whose son? God's son. Who's God? Who's the son of God? Now, I'm not trying to just rock the boat on that. I've thought about this for 20 plus years. That whosoever believeth in him, who?
Yes.
You must believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
That's right.
The name of the only begotten. How can you call upon him in whom you've not believed?
How?
It's no different than America. It's no different than the streets of America. Who is he? I know, I'll give you the vacuum cleaner salesman pitch and tell you about him real fast in 3 seconds and you'll learn about him. He said, believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, every religion offers everlasting life. I mean, isn't that the ethereal bliss of religion? I mean, you know, if you join the right religion, of course, if you do sin, if you're damned, you just burn up like a piece of paper, become ashes, amen, and get hacky sacked around the world. That's not going to work that way. Amen. The reality is that if you have everlasting life in Christ, you will live forever.
That's right.
So, again, I'm not mocking, not making light of that. But what that means is we're just going to go out there and convince people of John 3:16. That's the gospel in a nutshell. But the gospel simply is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Yet there's a great ignorance of the scriptures. He was buried, did not rise again after 3 days, according to the scriptures. Is that not paramount to our faith, that we believe God according to the which scriptures? Well, I'll give you a little hint. Let me tell you what this one says in the front. This Bible, this Holy Bible, King James Bible, is presented to Tim McVeigh by Cash Exchange on September 17, 2008. Amen. Well, who present? If you buy yourself a Bible, present it to yourself. Nobody ever gave me a Bible, so I had to buy my own. Don't be critical.
That's good.
I saw a lady in church picking up my Bible one time, I think by mistake, and she's flipping through it. She looks in the front, she realizes it's not hers, looks in the front to see who it is, and I saw her just going. Let's go, if you would, to Hebrews 10:7. I don't have a bad attitude. I really don't. I've just been staying with Sam and Charity for several days now, so. In verse 7, he said, "Then said I, lo, I come." And there's that parenthesis there. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. And that just speaks volumes. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. And then he said, he come, what? To do thy will, O God. So, in the volume of the book, if it's written of him, one of the things that I've spoke often of, those of you that hear me every once in a while, but the reality is that we ought to be able to find him pretty much anywhere in the volume of the book.
Correct.
And it's more than an alliterated poem.
Yeah.
It's more than getting a list of names and running through. That's not a bad thing, but it's more than just finding a list of names or finding where there's a name in Job or a name in Hosea. It's the doctrine of Jesus Christ. How he died according to the scriptures. That's doctrinal. And he died according to the scriptures. And if he didn't die according to the scriptures, you and I are still damned. And he died according to the scriptures. And so therefore, because it's written in the volume of this book, therefore we ought to be able to find him in the volume of this book. We ought to be able to search him out in the volume of this book. Isaiah 55. Before we change gears, go to Isaiah 55 just quickly, and verse 9. I have most of these passages horribly committed to memory, but I thought I'd go ahead and read them so they'd be accurate. Isaiah 55 and verse 9, and again, I've been staying with Sam and Charity for 4 days, so, you know, my mind's frazzled, and just the agony and the suffering we've been going through, it's just taking a toll on me. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. God tells you how the word of God works. He tells you it is like that rain. It comes down from heaven. It waters the earth. Why? It's going to give bread to us. Well, how do we get bread? Because he gives seed to the sower. He waters the seed. And by the way, I realize you can say it like this. Maury planted, asked with water, but God giveth the increase. And that's the reason I use them for an example is because then he says, therefore neither he that planteth nor he that watereth is anything.
Amen.
Exactly right.
And I think so highly of myself, I didn't want to include myself in that. Let's go soul winning. Who's the great soul winner? Told in Bible college quite a few years ago. They used to let me go to a Bible college and share a few thoughts, but that's been a while ago. But I told them, I said, hey, everybody wants to go soul winning. Let's talk about soul. Who is the great soul winner? He that winneth souls is wise. And some of you say you're soul winners, but you're not wise. So how can that be? Is that not a contradiction of terms? I've watched fools go soul winning.
Oh, my.
God is the great wise one. We plant, we water, it's God that giveth the increase. And so therefore, it's not me, it's not you, it's God that giveth the increase. The problem is we don't trust God with the seed, we don't trust God with the water, we don't trust God that he can grow that seed to give bread to the eater. That's what he speaks of in this passage. He said that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. That's the word of God. That's the word of God which we preach. It goeth out of God's mouth because he is the great soul winner. He knows what to do with it. He knows how to use it. He knows how. I have heard of a man, met him personally, that got saved, reading John 3:16 on a billboard. But he had knowledge of the gospel. He had knowledge of Jesus Christ. He had more than John 3:16. He had a background being raised in church. He had a background being drugged to church. He had a background of knowing the scriptures. He knew of Christ, had run from Christ, rebelled against Christ. And he brought him to his knees when he saw the billboard and reminded him. And God put him under condemnation and got born of God. And that was his testimony. The Lord pricked his heart with John 3:16, the gospel in a nutshell. But he had all these things lined up that brought him to that place. Right. What is it? It's that seed that God gives. He had that in his heart. He had water that had come down. God was just waiting for the increase. You see, the problem is because there's nobody there to take credit for it. We're skeptics. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. That's the Lord saying that. It shall not return unto me void.
Amen.
That's why the servant of the Lord must be patient, amongst other things.
Right.
Letting God do the work, waiting for God to do the work, waiting for God to do exactly what he wants to do. Why? Because it's that rain that comes down from heaven. It's that seed that's in the ground. God knows where that seed is. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto. Now, just somebody, just bear record with this. I sent it. I'm a great soul winner, aren't I? Whereunto I sent it. A vessel. Let's go to Isaiah 28. They had these cute little notes here, but we kind of got away from them, so it's going to be very, very hard to get back to them now. Isaiah 28. In verse 23, he says, give ye ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. Now, what is he talking about here? He's talking about the word of the Lord in verse 13. He's talking about the word of the Lord. And when he says the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Now, bear with me on this. Here a little.
That's right.
And there a little. Get some seed here. Get some water here. And then wait for God to give the increase. So here a little and there a little, and this is why, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. How many of you are broken by the word of God? Amen. How you were snared by the word of God. It got a hold of me. And then I was taken. Not against my will. God didn't do it against my will.
That's right.
Just in case you went from a fatalist. Amen. But no, he did that because he brought me to himself, wooed me to himself, and he said, whosoever will may come. And he gave me that option to come.
That's right.
And then God gave the increase. When I came, God gave the increase.
That's what he did.
He gave bread to the eater from the word of God.
Yeah.
That's what God's done for every person that's ever been born of God. It's not unique to me. Any man that will come unto him, he will give you rest. God said he would give you rest. He's not willing that any should perish. There's not one person here that God does not have a vested interest in your soul, but that all should. Will they? No, they will not. But they should come to repentance.
That's right.
That's their choice. That's their will. Yet the word of God goes out. God sends the word of God out. It's precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. God's trying to get you to fall back, be broken, fall back, snared, and taken by the word of God. And so we fast forward to where we were in verse 23. Give ye ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? Why does the plowman plow? Because God gives him wisdom to get bread. If he wants bread, he has to have wisdom. Where does that wisdom come from? It comes from above. He breaks open the face of the ground, breaks up the clods of the ground. He plows all day. Why? Because he is going to plant a seed. God is going to put the seed in the ground. Why? Because he's expecting a harvest. Bear with me on this. And so the plowman plows all day. What is he doing? He's exposing the face of the ground. And the word of God says this. Wherefore he hath made plain the face thereof. Does he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cumin and cast in the principal wheat and the pointed barley and the rye in their place? For God, his God, doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him.
Exactly right.
Now notice this, every seed has a different way it's delivered.
That's right.
He said of this, he says he cast abroad the fitches. What is the casting? Grab a handful of those tiny little fitch seeds, grabs it, casts it abroad. Lets the wind scatter it where it may, goes where. And by the way, when you're sowing like that, there's a great amount of seed used. There's also a great amount of seed wasted.
Yeah, that's right.
It will fall on stony ground. It will fall in places where the birds, the fowl, the air will snatch it up. But what do? You just throw more and more and more and more. Some of it eventually is going to come up.
Hey.
You just keep casting the broth.
Right.
And then he said this on this wise. He said, not only cast, but then scatter the cumin and cast in the principal wheat. What is scattering? It's out walking along. Of course, now if you're like some people, me, and you reseed your lawn, you're walking around going, that stupid, cheap little thing from Home Depot.
Yeah.
It's just scattered. It's right there. But I like this cast in. Being from Pennsylvania, of course, we love Planet Junior. And if anybody knows what that is, you know, Planet Junior is just the greatest seeders ever made. And with the Planet Junior, you can go into your garden, you put your seed in, and you set your plates on it, whatever size seed you have, and you can ride down through your garden, and you don't have to stop a Planet Junior seeder. You just go down through the garden. You don't have to stop. It's all automated. It drills the hole, drops the seed in, covers it back up. What's it doing? It's casting it into the soil. A corn drill does the same thing. It casts it into the soil. It's putting it in the soil. It's putting it deep. It's going buried in the soil. Why? In hopes of a harvest. So every type of seed out there, God gives instruction, and he does that for this. For discretion. Knowing how to handle the seed. Not all seed is the same. What kind of seeds do you have? You have prophecy. You have the prophets of God. You have the law of God. Do you scatter the law of God? You have the Psalms. Jesus Christ spoke on that wise directly to them when he instructed them out of Moses, out of Elijah, out of the Psalms. Why? Because everything in its own place is geared for that ground and the soil to be prepared for that seed to go in. As we've said many times in this meeting, others over the years, it's not a matter of the problem with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the seed. And just say amen on that.
Amen.
The problem is with the soil.
That's right.
And so therefore the plowman comes in, he breaks up the clods thereof. He exposes uncleanness and fornication and bitterness and anger and strife and all those things necessary to expose the soil as we cast in seed later tonight. As our dear brother preaches, the seed goes out in hopes it'll take root in somebody's heart. But you have to get the soil ready first. For fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel turned about upon the cumin. But the fitches are beaten out with a staff and the cumin with a rod. Bread corn is bruised because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. He understands the harvest. He understands what it takes to get a harvest. He understands what to do when he gets a harvest because God gave him understanding.
Amen.
What is the soul winner today? Five verses and a plan. and go out and win the world to Jesus. And they have no clue. Most of them don't even believe the seed is ripe.
That's right.
There's no soil prepared. There's weeds, there's rocks, and they're out there trying to cast in the principal rye when the soil's as hard as a rock. Rather than just scatter the word of God. Just get it out there. Sow it. Try to get in people's hearts. By the way, that's the wonder of a good Bible tract. It is scattered. That is the purpose of it. But what is it? You know, three verses, let's all culminate. Let's turn to the back, let's repeat this prayer. And if you said that, mail that in so we can get glory from it. No, it's seed. God giveth the increase. God giveth the increase. What's wrong with us today? We give the increase, and God has no part of it. We're trying to get an increase off what we have done, rather than let God get his increase. Let's go ahead and go to Deuteronomy 32 just briefly. I'm going to say that every time I tell you to turn just briefly. It's not really a setup. I think it's going to be quick and then make a few comments. I saw a meme the other day and it had a whole, I don't know if they're flocks, herds. What's a covey of rabbits called? Anybody? A coven? I don't know what. Anyway, the whole, call them a herd, okay? Somebody help me out. What is it called? A bunch. A bunch of rabbits are running down the road. There's about 200 rabbits just running down this road. I sent that meme to Brother Jack Haynes. And I said, "Brother, I just thought of you when I saw this. It reminded me of your preaching." True story. He always jokes about chasing rabbits. And he said he wouldn't know how to preach if he couldn't hunt rabbits. And then some guy gets in a meeting and preaches against running the rabbits. And he goes, "I don't know what else to do." Deuteronomy 32, 1 and 2. I'm not chasing rabbits. I don't even have a hunting license. So I'm just throwing that out there. "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth without and without iniquity, just and right is he. His doctrine shall drop as the rain. His speech shall distill as the dew." Now, some of you, of course, I realize we're in Black Creek, it's probably more common here than it would be maybe in Buffalo, and it's very common in Blaine, more so than Chambersburg, but some of us understand the concept of what distillation is. And we distill things like vinegar. Yeah. Amen, Chris, right? Rubbing alcohol, things like that. And distillation is a process by which that which is evaporated, that vapor thereof. And when it's condensed, of course, it's cooled, and the water comes out of that vapor, what's released? One drop of moisture. That's what's being distilled. That's why distilled water is considered to be more pure than tap water or river water or even cloud water, because it's distilled. It's the pure water. It's the vapor thereof. And that moisture comes out of the vapor when it's cooled and it distills it. But I want to say this: distillation is the process that extracts the moisture one drop at a time. He distills it as the dew. Now, I've likened it to this many times. There are times that showers will come upon the congregation. And that's a wonderful thing. Yes. There's times you just refresh. There's this refreshing of rain, refreshing of showers. Things begin to get green. Things begin to blossom. Fruit comes forth. But the day-to-day drudgery, and I use that with all humility, but the drudgery of ministry is that dew upon the grass. You go out in the morning, you see the dew. What you don't realize is there's billions of droplets of water upon the face of the earth. And yet God uses that. It sustains life. Animals can lick that dew off the grass. The plants won't die as long as that. But what you're talking about is God distills those billions of waters of droplets And then he said on this wise, that's his speech. Every word of God is pure. It's been distilled.
That's right.
Good.
And it falls upon the face of the earth in abundance. And God lays that dew out in the morning for us and covers us and sustains us until we get showers of doctrine. Job 36, if you would. We'll just look at this quickly. I want to be consistent. In verse 26 of Job 36, I want you to notice this with rain before I go too much further with this, but rain does two things. Rain brings judgment, and rain brings provision. Rain can bring judgment in the storm, accompanied by winds. There is great destruction. But rain also is provision. Why? Because rain is from God. And God can do as he pleases with the rain.
Right.
He talks about the treasures of hail. They're reserved for a day of destruction. There's nothing good in hail. Nobody's like, oh, praise the Lord, it's hailing out. Get the convertible out. It's hailing. Children, it's hailing. Let's go outside. Some of you have been down south, maybe in one of their tremendous hailstorms. It hurts. There's nothing good. He talks about those treasures of hail reserved for that day of judgment. Rain can be used as judgment, but just as many times it's used for substance. It'll bring floods. The winds with rain can bring destruction, but it always waters the face of the earth. There's an arroyo in Southern California, and I guess not long after the rain and had come down through the canyon and washed across the road there where I was south of San Diego. And not being from the East Coast, you don't think about things like that. You've always read about it and or seen it in Westerns or read about it when you were a boy in Westerns or you saw it in your Pokemon game. And I said, boys read Westerns, just throwing that out there. You might have seen it in science fiction on Mars or something, you know, the flood washed out and the Martian got destroyed, you know. Want to help some people out there on that. I didn't want to put them under condemnation and conviction with that Western. Amen. People say, I love sci-fi. I'm like, man, my old pastor, Brother Hartman, he was checking in a hotel one day. And a lady said, Reverend, she goes, here's the remote for the TV. He goes, I won't be needing that. And she said, but Reverend, she said, we have some wonderful religious program. He said, lady, if I'm going to watch TV, I want to see John Wayne shoot somebody. Amen. That's Brother Hartman. Verse 26, behold, God is great, we know him not. Neither can the number of his years be searched out. For he maketh small the drops of water, and they pour down rain according to the vapor thereof. So what does God do? He makes small those drops of water, even as small as the dew. But then he said it pours down as rain. Now, I've used this for many, many years, but what do you say outside and the clouds are forming and, you know, I've taught my children to appreciate things outside, nature. They like birds, airplanes, all the natural things, you know, that fly in the sky. And we go out and we watch the storm. And my wife's always on the back porch, nervous and scared to death. And, you know, when the lightning starts to tingle your hair, you go in and you don't worry about it. But what's the one thing the child will say, I will say, I felt a drop of rain. So what do? You head to the house because the friends are coming with it. We have a field behind us, and you can see for a couple of miles up to the mountain, and you can see the rain coming across, and you can actually see the rain coming across the railroad tracks and begin to move across that field, and you can almost judge to the second when the rain is going to hit. But every single one of those raindrops is an individual drop of water. Every single one of them. It's the word of God. In abundance, in a congregation like this, It's not a bucket of water. It's drops of water. It's the word of God. His doctrine distills as the dew, or as it distills. And then that dew comes upon the face of the congregation after the distillation of the rain. But it's a work of God. God's watering seed is what he's doing. And so it pours down, it distills upon the face of the earth. That raindrop that you felt now comes with millions of its friends and depend on when and where and how, half an inch of rain, tens of billions of raindrops fall, yet that cloud is hung in the heavens. God hung it there that it rent not. He put bands upon it, rent not. And so now that water is upon the face of the earth. Job 38 takes us there then. And he says in verse 25, who hath divided a water course for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder? Who did that? It was the work of God. It's not a work of man, it's a work of God. The rain is a work of God. The water is a work of God. The seed is a work of God. The water course is a work of God. To cause it to rain on the earth where, and here's where God proves that, no man is. What's that? That's the night season. That's those night hours. Laying in your bed, can't get away from the word of God, can't get away from the water into the word, can't get away from what God's trying to do. You know why? Because God is hot on your trail. Seed has been planted in that soil. Water has fallen from heaven. It has watered that seed. It's troubling to you. It's bothering you. It's God's work. He sets the water course for that water. You know what I mean? God sends that water where he wants it to go. Congregation like this, every type of soil is here. God knows who needs the water. God knows who will receive it. Is the water falling? Yes, it is. Will some receive it? They will not. Why? There's no soil to receive it.
That's right. Yep, not ready.
There's some here to receive the seed of the word of God. There's some here that will not receive. They got motives and intentions beyond what God wants them to have. They're sitting here for a reason unbeknownst to us, anything other than godliness and holiness. And they're sitting here, bitterness and hardness of heart and sorrow of heart. And they sit here and will not receive the word of God. They cannot receive that rain. Yet it falls. It distills upon us abundantly. You preach to the hardened hearts today in America. People so hardened against God that it seems like sometimes it's almost fruitless in the preaching. It seems like we're never going to see an increase, never going to see a move of God, never going to see a stirring of God. Yet we saw even in this last year, year and a half, 2 years, we've seen a stirring of God. We've seen folks that have been broken to the place they were fallen back and snared and taken. They received the water of life.
Amen.
He said, to cause it to rain on the earth, in verse 26, where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth. Sounds like life to me.
Yeah.
God sent that water course where it needed to go. He sent it on a desolate and a waste ground. There's no man there. There's no man that knows that seed there. But God, I told him this past week, God knows exactly where that seed has fallen. God knows exactly where that seed's been planted. And God sends the rain from heaven to water that seed. Why does God do that? It is his mercy. As God sends the rain, it sends that water course. He knows where that seed's been planted. He knows if it's been cast, scattered. He knows if it's taken. I mean, it might have, back to Brother Moore, just slung as far as it could go. And just one little seed fell in that stony ground. Washed into where some good soil was. The great God of heaven knows exactly where that seed has fallen. And that water falls down from heaven and rains upon that spot. A man told me the other day, a farmer over there, Shingle House, talked about some of this, and I can forget his name. Another brother come up to me, and he said, Brother McVeigh, did you know a cherry seed can lay in the ground for 20 years dormant? He said, all it takes is the right condition to grow.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right.
And he told me about one of the farm seeds. He said, I got seed that has a shelf life of 5 years.
Wow.
He said, I can put it on that shelf, sit there for 5 years. He said, I can go out and put it in the field. I'll get just as good a crop as I would have the first year. All it needs is a little bit of water. That seed's falling upon that ground. God knows exactly where it is, and all it takes is one drop of water to bring that seed to life. It's in Phoenix, I guess probably about a dozen years ago. And when I was there, they had one of their monsoons that they get in Phoenix, and it's quite a bizarre, just weird, goofy event when they get rain. It's not like this balmy spring rain that comes here. It comes with, you know, 80 mile an hour, 90 mile an hour winds, howling, ripping, blowing. It's not coming, sand's blowing. Everything's filthy. Your car gets sandblasted. The windows of your house get sandblasted. I mean, anything outside is buried in just disgusting mud and sand. And the pastor said, let's go out to Apache Junction. We'll go up in the mountains. I said, okay. And we get out, there's a traffic jam coming out of Apache Junction, coming across the valley, heading down to Tucson. The traffic jam is because when that rain falls like that, that lifeless, barren desert blooms. Overnight. We got out there, the desert's yellow and green. Thousands upon thousands of seeds per square foot, little plants and little herbs. That water rejuvenated and brought them to life. I mean, the whole valley rolls out to see it. We got up the mountains. You could tell where the rain stopped because it was lifeless. It was dark. It was barren. It was dusty. It was dry. Nothing but cigar, cactus, lizards. By the time we got back down the valley again, the heat had dried up a lot of it. A lot of the plants were withered. But it sprung up just that moment. Just prove it to us that there's life in this dead, barren soil.
Come on, brother. That's right.
Let's go ahead. Well, let's go to Isaiah 53. I don't want to be flash, but it's not going to be. Who hath believed our report? To whom was the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. We shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. There is a seed planted. It's Abraham's seed. It's Isaac's seed. There's Jacob's seed. It's the seed of David. All it needed was water. God overshadowed that virgin girl's womb and brought forth his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. And he grew up as a tender plant out of the dry ground. Israel was dry. Israel was barren. Israel was lifeless. On that glorious morning, Israel sprang to life. There was life in Israel. There was hope in Israel. The water of life had come. And he sprang up out of that ground. But there was no beauty in his comeliness that we should desire him. Men didn't see him for what he was. They didn't see that he was the bread of life. Except the corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. That tender plant died that we might have the bread of life. He died that you and I might have life in him. The water of life. The bread of life. The seed of the Word of God. Can I say to you, I'll go back to many, many years ago when I first heard it said, there's a lot of seeds out there. GMO, genetically modified. There's even those seeds that are completely contrived in labs. There's completely made up. There's seeds that are altered, seeds that have every kind of pesticide and fertilizer and everything built into them. They're guaranteed to spring forth. There's all, they've been tainted, they've been covered, but there's still good seed. But that good seed must accompany good ground.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And then it needs water. Where are the men of water today? Everybody wants to harvest. But nobody wants to plant water. Everybody wants to harvest the land. Everybody wants the benefits of the harvest. They want the, really, the, if all integrity, they want the joy that the harvest brings. But nobody wants to plow. I've said for many years now, and I've said in this pulpit at least maybe 600 times, I don't know. When I first came here, Brother Asquith repeated himself. I was in good company. After about 50 times, I said, okay, he even does it more than me, but I was just trying to convince myself of that. He doesn't. I just try to make myself feel better about me. Nobody wants to go sweat in the field. Nobody wants to plow. So what do? They come up with this contrived notion that this is the formula that's going to bring fruit. Be encouraged. You're downtrodden and you're discouraged. You're really low right now. Everybody's going through a hard time. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to pick you up. And again, I've said many times, that's an NIV doctrine. The word encouragement is not even found in the New Testament. I said it's not found in the New Testament. But exhortation is. Exhortation is found 33 times. We talked about it yesterday, the preaching. What is exhortation? What is to exhort? It's to bring or to lift up to a high, verbally lift up to a higher level of morality or character. That's what exhortation is. That's why he said reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering of doctrine. Why? You don't need encouraged. In fact, most of you need discouraged. You need God to discourage you from what you are doing. Everybody's going through a hard time. Yes, we are all going through a hard time. Suck it up. Start living right. It's not an excuse to be carnal. It's not an excuse to live foul and to live unclean and, oh, I'm just so depressed right now. I think I'll just go be a pig. Secondly, the other thing I've said many times in this pulpit, you know, if nothing else works, let's just call to service. Let's make everybody feel guilty because they don't do what they're supposed to do. But I've said in the start of October meeting probably 5 different years, how many of us can say right now, we don't read our Bible, pray enough, do enough for God, raise your hand, and we all raise our hand. I say, I'm glad that's out of the way. Now we don't have to preach about it. That's the formula today. It's going to fix everything. Is it not? Everywhere you go, meetings, you go to revivals, you go to conferences, you go to camp. Is that not the formula? Everybody's suffering. Everybody's going through something. Let's just be encouraged. Now, listen, we're not serving God. And if you don't read enough, pray enough, don't you come down to the altar. Let's all come down to the altar and cry because we don't read our Bible enough. But nobody wants to plow. Nobody wants to root the rocks out. Nobody wants to pull the weeds out. But does not the plowman go out there all day under that hot sun by the sweat of his face, do the labor that's needed to get the soil prepared for the seed of the word of God? That's what a true plowman does. That's what a true plowman is for. That's what the man of God's supposed to do in the pulpit.
Right.
Plow up the trash in your field. Go out there and get the litter out of it. Pull the rocks out. You know how you get the rocks out? You plow. Then you got to go back and pick up the rocks. You don't just plow and leave it. You got to go back and painstakingly pick up every single one of those rocks and get them out of the field. How do you get a stump out? I know. I've been there. You hit it with the plow. Again. And again, and again, and again, and then you sharpen the plow, put a new tip on it, and hit the stump again, and again. If that doesn't work, put a stick of dynamite in it. It's kind of uncomfortable, though. But if it's in your field, you're better off getting it out of there.
Yeah.
You ever watch that good soil? I mean good soil. We got it in southern Pennsylvania. Just naturally, native. We have beautiful soil, wonderful soil. Turned up, brown earth, rich earth, not much clay, not too much sand. Lancaster County, across that southern tier, just some of the best soil that you'll find on the East Coast. That's true. It's in upstate New York as well. Just wonderful soil. And you turn up that soil and the rain comes. You know what happens when you have that good, clean, turned up, fresh soil that's been tilled, it's smooth, it's laying up on the face of the earth and the rain falls? That rain just sucks it up like a glove.
Yeah.
Just sucks it down, sucks it down. Draws it down to the seed, draws it down to where that seed's been planted, draws it down to where that drill has put that seed in the earth. You know why? In the hopes of a harvest. Now I want you to identify three things. I'll be done. First and foremost, the plowman prepares the soil. The plowman sows. The plowman can water. But God has to give you
that. That's right.
Salvation is a work of God.
Yes, certainly. Amen.
It's not a work of your flesh. It's certainly not your will of your flesh. Mm-hmm. It's a work of God. But let me also be very clear about this. You don't sit and wait for God to save you.
Come on, brother. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You obey the voice of God.
Amen.
You don't wait for the plowman to come one more time and root the filth out of your field. When he runs the plow through the first time, let him get it.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
You have to sit there and preach every single service trying to root up sin in people's life, but yet that's what happens today. How many times in this church fornication has been preached on? Pornography has been preached on. Adultery has been preached on. Uncleanness has been preached on. How many hundreds of times have been preached on in this church? And that's just your pastor. And how many are still involved in it?
Come on, that's exactly right.
God won't save me.
Uh-oh.
God won't save me. I'm waiting for God to save me. God's waiting for you to get the junk out of your life. God's waiting for you to get that soil where it'll receive the word of God. The plowman's plowed. The laborer's planted. The laborer's watered. God's water. Why is there no increase? Don't blame God. How many more times do we have to preach? How many times do we have to warn? How many more times do we have to tell folks? This is why you're in the mess you're in.
Right.
Samuel was talking tonight at the dinner table, speaking of a situation. Horrible. Terrible. Brother Ronnie and I were talking yesterday of a situation, just beyond understanding of how awful and horrible it is. In one case, people sit under the word of God. In one other case, they do not sit under the word of God. But the way the transgressor is hard, it doesn't matter if you're in church or out of church.
Okay.
Why doesn't it occur to people maybe God's doing this to you?
Come on, brother. That's right.
Why does it occur to people? Maybe this is the hand of God because people are praying. Maybe because people are praying for your soul, God is trying to tear you down to where you can actually get some of that junk out of your life, that the ground might be uncovered, that God can turn up the face of it, that the seed of the Word of God has opportunity to grow.
Yes.
How many more times are we going to talk about it? How many more times is it going to be preached? We've had 3 days now. I don't know what Brother Donat's going to preach. I don't know. We've had 3 days of preaching up to this point. Some of you even last week around preaching, under preaching, to come to this point, and God has warned you and warned you and warned you and warned you. And because of fear, because of stubbornness, because of rebellion, because of pride, you will not get the trash out. You will not get the junk out. And then you look up into heaven and say, I don't know why God won't save me. God forbid. Two questions. Is God able?
Yes.
Is he able to save the uttermost?
Yes.
Will God save the uttermost?
Yes.
Will God save you?
That's right. Yes, sir.
Brother Dale, will God save them?
Hallelujah.
Just wanted to make sure about that.
You better believe it.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Thank little church boy back there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, isn't that amazing? Screwball, won't God save people?
Sir.
Anybody?
Yes.
I just want to make sure about I want to make sure about that. Anybody here? Anybody not know Screwball Skolton?
Which one?
Oh, wait. I forgot. He got saved. I heard the which one.
Hey.
Preacher Skolton.
That's what I like. Exactly.
Amen. I said Preacher Skolton.
That's exactly right.
That whole salvation thing changed all that.
How about that?
We're indicting God with something that he's not doing.
Oh, have mercy.
Yet God's trying to get that out of your life.
Sure is.
I mean, do we need to come back tomorrow night and preach on uncleanness just one more time? Oh. Is it going to help? Lasciviousness one more time? Is it going to help? Pastor asks me if I need to come when I'm through and in the next 4 or 5 minutes before the 7 o'clock hour, does he need to come and tell about his life and his testimony and his wife not getting saved and the son's not being saved and how God's worked and brought him to repentance, brought his sons to repentance and the awfulness and the terrors and the horror? Does that need to take place and stir your emotions again so that you can respond emotionally, or you just want to obey God? Maybe Brother Dale came and told us about it, being in prison and getting in fights in gangs, and we like that stuff. Amen. Maybe he'd come one more time and tell us about that. And Sister Amy tells us one more time about the awful life she lived, the little rich girl in Buffalo, and oh, how to stir our emotions, and we'll cry. And Brother Skolton can tell about doing drugs right up those stairs in the prophet's room, and oh, we'll cry. But why don't you just obey the voice of God?
Hallelujah. Come on.
It's not in the gimmick.
That's right.
I told him our church, it's like, how come nobody shouted when Lydia said she got saved? 16 years old, 15 years old at the time, raised in the house of God, preacher's daughter, never smoked, never drank, never cussed. Get your finger out of your ears. Get your fingers out of your ears. Little church girl. Nobody shouted on that.
Come on. That's exactly right,
brother. Yeah. We can obey God. God puts that rain upon the grass, covers this congregation with the dew, in hopes of water and seed. Are you willing to receive it? Somebody asked me recently, how do you believe? Legitimate question. Either cometh to God, must believe that he is.
That's right.
How do you believe? You got to come to God.
That's right, brother. Hallelujah.
How do you come to God?
Yes, sir.
Through the word of God.
Yes, amen.
You doing this? You afraid of it? You in this? You worried about it? It's a couple things to ponder. I'm done. We don't have to have the service. Thank God for him being here again this year. No coincidence we're here together. Thank God for that. Pastor, I don't know. It's about 2.5 minutes till. I tried to give 3 minutes, but I fell 30 seconds short.
I'm looking for a full 3 minutes.
You can take it. You're the pastor.
And I'm pretty bitter over it.
Brother Don't Ask going to come up in a moment. We'll give everybody a break and you can go whatever you got to do and listen to a book where they're using the word ablutions. Kind of a code word for everybody went to the bathroom to go to do their ablutions, all right? But how many people here, when I met you, you were lost without Christ? And today, stand up if you have Jesus Christ. Lost without Christ. Amen. I like it. Okay? Good. I like old Ray Ray. I like it. Good enough. Go ahead and have a seat. This is a church built through souls. All right? Going out and finding people in the neighborhoods and convincing them that there's a better life. And this man, Jesus Christ, can give it.
Amen. Okay? That's right.
And the thing the Lord's been impressing on me big time is this. If heaven is your home, then your home is heaven.
That's right.
Now listen, my family's been through stuff, children being molested, lost a business, lost a home, lost every friend we had. One point I took my family and camped in a field just to try to get things straight. What's God doing with us, okay? And you want to know something? In the midst of that, we found just heaven in our home. We were just all bitter and hating at each other. Heaven was in our home night by night. Day by day, joy just in our home, okay? I'm awful suspicious when the home is in heaven. I get suspicious. I get suspicious. The work of righteousness shall be peace. Okay? The effect of righteousness should be quietness and assurance forever. That's what God does. And I mean in the midst of awful things. Just terrible things. God puts it. And I've watched so many of your homes transformed. When you came in here just full of bitterness and hell and mean to each other and everything else. And Jesus gets in the home and I've just watched your homes transform. That's just a wonderful thing. And I love it. And there's some people here, you need some of that transformation. Yes, you do. All right, let's just take about 2-3 minutes. If you need to stretch your legs or anything else, if you need to use the bathroom, then Brother Donath, I want you just to come up here and take over this service, all right? Here's a couple moments.